Pastor Lauer from our Seder Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Seder's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. During these times of pandemic, our regular services are indoors at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a parking lot service at 9:15. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
I don't think I have to argue with anyone that one of the most important responsibilities that God has given us on the earth is the care and raising and providing for children. Regardless of the culture or the time in history, we all seem to have this built-in sense that we are to protect them and provide for them, especially the young ones who can't provide for themselves. They're not only our future, but the future that they have will be the one that we give them. So it's our responsibility to give them a future at least as good as the one that we received. And so we love our children and look after them. We feed them, clothe them, educate them as best that we can. We try to prepare them for life that they will face when they leave our protective custody. Kids think they know what life's all about, but the rest of us, we know they haven't got a clue. There are people out there in the real world who will abuse them, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Life can have times that are really tough, and we are to prepare them for that, to watch over them while they're young, keep them safe, provide for them, but also to prepare them for when we're not around to do that for them anymore. Now, I don't think I've said anything yet that anybody can really argue with. Muslims, evangelicals, Buddhists, Hindus, Mormons, even those who don't hold to any religion, love their children. They want the best for their children, even if there are some in every group who are plain evil or inconsistent in that. In prison, they say that the lowest of the low are the child abusers, because even criminals know that we are to watch out for the little ones. And Christianity is completely consistent with that built-in instinct, if I can call it that, that attitude. In fact, we believe that God is the Father of all people, that He put that attitude into us. After all, God calls us His children. Jesus is our brother, all part of that heavenly family. And as such, we should treat one another as we treat others in our own family. So for us Christians, this built-in instinct towards children is fundamental to the foundation of the Christian faith. Jesus is the firstborn of all God's children. Because of Him, we call God our Heavenly Father, who loves us, watches over us, provides for us, and is here for us in every way. So you can imagine that God, our Heavenly Father, does not take it well when somebody messes with His children. We're the same. For example, you can forgive a bad teacher or for a bad coach. But when your child's health and welfare are involved, when somebody sets out to harm your child, is there any parent who would not quickly take serious action? That is the same attitude that our Heavenly Father has when anyone, human or spirit, sets out to hurt any one of His children in any way. Yes, life comes with its bumps and bruises. Yes, life has its more serious injuries. Yes, because of our sin, we have consequences. But if someone intentionally sets out to harm one of God's children, well, Jesus says it'd be better for him to have a giant stone tied around his neck and be thrown into the sea. He's not saying that we should do that. He's saying that such a thing would be too good for them. So great is God's love for every single one of His children. Both the little ones, and we are all still His children. You know, in the eyes of God, compared to eternity, we've only been here a little while. But there will be nothing to save those who set out to hurt God's children. And the greatest kind of hurt that one can inflict on another person is to cause them to sin, to break their relationship with God. Remember, there's no small sin or unimportant sin, because every act of disobedience or rebellion destroys the loving relationship of that person with God. But if that person sins because of you, if their relationship with God is broken because of you, if you have caused a child of God to intentionally contradict or go against what they had previously known to be true, you got a real problem, a problem with God. That's why even Satan is so severely judged. Not only did he himself sin against God, but he was the one who caused Eve to question, doubt, and disobey God. And then along with Eve and Adam, the whole creation and every generation pulled away from the loving, perfect life which God had given them. That doesn't excuse Adam and Eve. They have their own responsibility and their own consequences for sin. We also have our own responsibilities and our own consequences for sin. But for the one who introduced sin to them, the consequences for him will be most severe. Why? Because parents love their children so very much, and God loves you so very much. So our Lord Jesus warns us in the strongest possible language against causing any of his Father's children to sin, which breaks the relationship with God, not because God stops loving them when they sin, but because their own love and commitment for God has been called into question and made less than perfect. And if that's true for adults who ought to have some responsibility for themselves, it will be so much more true for those who cause the little ones to sin, the ones who have that simple, childlike faith in their loving Father in heaven. God, our Father in heaven, gives a very direct promise when he adopts us into his family. In holy baptism, God says, "I have called you by name, and you are mine." He marks us with the sign of the cross, both upon our forehead and upon our heart, to show that we also have been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Each and every day, he forgives us our sins for the sake of Jesus, who took our punishment on himself so that we could be spared. Through the Bible, he gives example after example after example of people just like us who run into all kinds of problems just like we do. And every single time, God hears their prayers and answers them with his presence and his power and his promise. Like earthly parents for their children, not always giving the children what they want, but definitely giving them what they need. In the Bible, God's own book, he teaches us what it means to be his people. What it means in good times and in bad. What it means when we're young. What it means to be a child of God when we're old, when we're children, when we're parents. God's Word teaches us all of that. And throughout the ages, he repeats his promise to every single generation. Somebody told you, you weren't born with the knowledge of God's love and forgiveness. You weren't born with the knowledge that God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Somebody taught that to you. Indeed, Jesus, God himself, came to defeat sin, death, and the power of the devil. The devil threw everything that he had at Jesus. He tempted him. He gave Jesus every opportunity to walk away from his purpose. The devil led the people to reject God, to torture and crucify God in the person of his Son. But none of it would go against Jesus, God's true Son, who held fast in the faith through the very end. He was most certainly dead. Blood and water ran from his pierced side. He was put into a grave, and a guard was posted to be sure that no one stole the body. And when he had been in the grave for 2 nights and a full day, he rose again to show his victory over all. Put the sins of the whole world on him, torture him until he's dead, it doesn't matter. Jesus won the victory, and he demonstrates that he is God and Lord of all. And he shows us that's how much God loves you. That's the extent to which God himself made man will go to have you back with him in his eternal kingdom. And now his will, his desire, even his purpose is to give that victory over sin, death, and everlasting condemnation, which he has won, to everybody who will have it. He gives forgiveness and eternal life to the old and to the young, to those who are near to us and those who live far, far away. Many years later, it is his desire and purpose to deliver his presence, his power, and his promise to those who are the weakest and the smallest and the neediest first. I'm all grown up, as I told the kids. I have God's love and forgiveness. I know what my baptism means. I've learned through the stories of the scriptures that God will always forgive me, that he will always deliver me no matter what. But do my kids know that? Do your kids know that? Does your spouse know that. That God loves them and forgives them. That they have a place already prepared for them in God's eternal kingdom. Remember, the first will be last and the last will be first. In other words, the church is no longer about, well, not as much at least, about those of us who've been here all along and who've learned so much. Today, the church is about the little ones, to those who still need to hear, to those who still need to see the love of God at work in their lives. So as we start a new school year and Sunday school and confirmation and Bible studies, that's what it's all about. And those who are the most in need of God's presence, His protection and His power and His promise, are the little ones who have nothing of their own to defend them. You know the old saying, would you take candy from a baby? But let me ask you this. Would you take a life jacket from a three-year-old when the boat starts to sink? Would you take a child's clothing and food when you're cold and hungry? Would you take away her innocence, her self-respect, her hope for the future? If that's how we view children for their bodily needs, then what should we do when it comes to their spiritual needs? So many people say, my parents made me go to church. I'm not going to make my kids go to church. Well, you're able to say that because you went to Sunday school and confirmation. You know the person who says such a thing, knows about the love and forgiveness of God. But their children don't yet know it. And not only do they need to be brought to Sunday school to hear the Word of God, to come up for the children's sermon, to know that they are loved by God. They need to be brought. And as Jesus talked about the sheep that's gone away, we need to go find them. We can't wait for them to come to us. We need to go find them and bring them in that they too might hear, believe, and be saved. Saved? Yeah, you know what that means. Saved from all the troubles of life. Saved from the discouragement, the sorrows. Saved from the losses. Saved from death. To know that an eternal life is in store for them. That all God's blessings are yet to come. That it only gets better in the kingdom of heaven. Life can be tough, but Jesus is tougher. Life can take away, but Jesus can give so much more. And they need to hear it and to learn it. To do any less than pass that on to the next generation is to withhold from them the riches of what it means to be a child of God, a member of His family. But to feed the soul of a child upon the Word of God, upon the testimony of how we live, to show them what's important to us and what therefore should be important to them, is to empower that child to live and one day die in faith in Christ. And to rise with Christ to life everlasting. To bring a child into the family of God is to give them the full inheritance that their Heavenly Father has in store for them. To teach them what is their birthright as sons and daughters of God. To be kings and queens and rule with Him over all creation. This is the choice that has been given to us. To curse them by withholding the Word of God from them, or worse, teaching them to go against God's Word. Or to bless them by whether or not we will teach them to know and receive what Christ has earned for them. And we can view that as a burden. Oh gosh, we've got to drag the kids to Sunday school and confirmation. Or we can view it as a privilege. To raise the children of God to know what it means, now and forever, to be members of His family. God has so blessed us. God help us to do it for them. Amen. If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.